Have you been working in the Lord's work this week? Maybe, maybe not. Okay. Get your Bibles ready. And if you don't have them, go find somebody else that has one. Take it from them. But they've got them memorized. We're going to drop into Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians is my favorite chapter. When I was a young man, I mean really young, I was going to Florida, and I was going to make myself a preacher. And this preacher really was wonderful, most of them. And the one of them that was in the letter of Ephesians, and I was in his class, and he wanted me and all the other gentlemen to get into this and to learn the book of Emmanuel. Ephesians book. It was good. I wasn't a very, what's the word I should use? Are you thinking about what it is? You don't. Okay. It was hard going in those days. A dollar meant a whole lot. But I came from a house, and I had good parents. I had two brothers, three sisters. And I was the last one, of course. I get all the laughs and all of the beat-up clothes and everything by the time I was there. But I think in the morning and at night, I worked in the cafeteria because any way I could get a penny, I would. But as I worked over the water place and I was washing the cups and then doing this and one, two, three, boom, it's gone. And it was Ephesians. It was that book. And while I was doing that, I was thinking, how am I going to preach this? How am I going to get this? I want to get this thing. And so it was, in the last time I went and stood before our brother, and he went through it with me, and I was so happy that I knew the book of Ephesians. And that book has always been my favorite. So we're here in chapter 3 of Ephesians, and we're going to start at verse 14. For this reason, this is Paul, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that it would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, and the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye may be filled with all of the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all the things that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now, when I graduated from that school, way back there, I know you think it was horse and buggies, but I did get a little bit ahead and learn some good things. But when I took the back of those early years of my ministry, now I realize how young and how inexperienced I was. I started out with a little congregation, and I mean little, but I enjoyed working with it. And then it was a little bit later on, a couple of more years, and another congregation wanted me. And so I went with them, moving on up. And through the years, I began to really enjoy it. Near the end, I didn't want to give up this congregation where Joyce and I were working. We had been a great congregation, and I'm not begging me in what I've done. But he saw that we were doing good. In fact, we had a little building, but when we were there as a preacher and the other elders, and I was an elder at that time also, what are we going to do? Are we going to take what we've got now? We're overflowing. We had to have a group sitting in the basement and a grace thing to go upstairs. And then they'd wrap it around that way. You didn't have to always be in the basement. But that was it. We said, we've got to do something. And so it was, the elders, we said, we're going to start two congregations here, and you sit with us on whichever one you want, the bottom one or the top one. But it worked out that way until we got trouble in that area, and people were causing a lot of fuss. And I worked on that, and I worked on that, and I said, I don't know. I can't get these people straightened back out. So 40-some years where I had been preaching, I said, this is it. I'm leaving. Well, they weren't sad at all. They were happy. They were happy because they wanted to hear the false that these other people were coming up with. And so I said, okay, I'm leaving. Well, they didn't cry, but I did. Anyway, we came to here, and I was going to work a job. You know, preachers don't work jobs. But here's somebody with, I'm going to really work. I'm going to get this going. And I worked on it about 3 or 4 months, 5 months. After training, I moved down here with a good friend. But it wasn't preaching. I could have bought that other stuff a lot, but I said no. And it was there in our town that I said, I'm going to go back into preaching, Joyce. And so she said, okay, if that's what you want. And so I got that. But what I'm building that up to say, I looked at my life and I wanted to know, can I do it now at this age? I was reaching out, and I don't know that I still had the strength and the ability. But everyone in this lesson this afternoon is going to deal with Paul's prayer for growth, spiritual growth. That's a lot of work. If you don't believe it, then you try it. I was hoping I'd preached one lesson recently, and I thought, well, I'll be okay. And then that one lesson, and our brother here, we went together, and we did all right. I was happy and telling him, I'm pretty good at this, aren't I? And he said, no. But anyway, we went on. And I said, well, I'll talk to these people over here. But anyway, the phone rang. It was Wednesday afternoon. We were getting up from class. And this little guy walked over to me, and he put his arm around me, and he said, I'm going to need you again. You're going to have to preach for me. I said, why? He said, well, Victor is still sick, and we need somebody to do it. I said, okay, but that's awful quick. Thursday, Friday, I've got to get that going, because I've got to preach Sunday. And he said, furthermore, you need to preach both of them. Well, wrap it up and we'll go home. Mercy. Paul begins his prayer with one of the most beautiful poetic statements you will find in these scriptures. And verses 14 and 15 says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Do you ever think about getting down on literally knees and praying? They used to do that a lot in the Bible, didn't they? And I'm not saying you have to. I'm not saying that at all. And I realize now, at my age, and I won't tell you how long 200 is, but you're thinking about, for me to get out on my knees, I better stay there for the rest of the day, because I'm not going to jump up real quick anyway. So I don't know. I'm going to have to get on something to bounce me back up. But this thing, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That impresses me. Maybe it doesn't you. And he's doing this from the whole family in heaven and on earth. Now notice Paul begins by saying, for this reason. Paul, what is the reason? What are we talking about here? He is referring to everything he has been talking about up to this point in the letter. We who were poor have been made rich in Christ. We who were spiritually dead have been made alive in Christ. We who spiritually lost have been saved by the blood of Christ. Paul says, for this reason, here it is, I bow my knees to the Father. You know, sometimes I think maybe it would do good to go back on our knees and pray. Now, I'm not saying you have to. I know it's hard. I know a lot of people of us have a lot of difficulties and so forth. Our younger ones, like our elders and you other people, You can do that. But I don't know that I could. But they look good. You know, the only way God can be our Father is to be born spiritually into His family. And I love that thought there, that here are people we're converting or want to convert, and we are getting them to see God the Father, and who's born spiritually into His family. And the only way to be born spiritually in God's family is through the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 15 he says, "For whom the whole family in heaven on earth is named." Paul is acknowledging the wonderful truth that there, that some of God's children are already in heaven and some of God's children are still on earth. How about that? Do you think about that every once in a while? I do. Why? Well, I don't do it because to be mourn and sad and, you know, just that. I want to be able to have some care and love for that time. I don't want to be whining and grinding. Paul is telling us that we need the whole body of Christ. Number one, you think, man, how's he going? How many of you got in there? Well, I can't tell you, because you'll take them away if I do. But this is number one. 16, verse 16, we're back to that. "That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man." Listen to me, brethren. The key to the whole Christian life is to have a high view of your salvation. Do you talk about your salvation a lot? Do you ever mention it to anybody? If you're meeting a friend and you're going to go out and shop, or you're going to go out and buy something to eat, and you're talking and you have a lot of fun and laugh and everything, and you say, well, it's time for me to go. I better get up and get out and go. But, you know, they never talked about this book any. Never do. Well, now I realize and I know that if I'm out with somebody, well, they say, you don't have a Bible. Uh-huh. Yeah. I have about 18 of them on there. And so let's sit down and talk. But we don't. We're not out for that, whatever it is. The key to the whole Christian life is to have a high view of salvation. You and I are recipients of the greatest miracle any man has ever received, and that is we have been saved by the grace of God. In a world where it's full of what, would you say? Lost souls who are on their way to eternal torment. You and I have been saved. You and I are on our way to eternal life. Can we say that properly? Do we really mean it? I am on my way to heaven because I am studying, I am working on it, and I am going to do it. How many of us spend a little bit of time each day doing some Bible study? Joyce and I, we get together once in a while. And when it was back there and nobody could get out of their houses and stuff and no buildings were open on that, we did our own preaching. I did the preaching. We got ready. We had communion. Doing everything we could. Why? Because we love the Lord. And the Lord has been looking upon us. Do you remember that powerful statement Paul made at the very beginning of this letter? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." We were chosen before the foundation of the world, and in verse 1, verse 4. We have been adopted by God's family, 1.5. We have redeemed by the blood of Christ, and of our sins have been forgiven, 1.7. It goes on and on and on, and we don't have time to get into all of that. But we are rich people, rich, rich, rich in Christ Jesus. It's not rest, rest, rest on, hey, I want this. Hey, I'd like that. And I'm going to get my dad over here to buy these things. Listen, we are rich in Christ. And you look at the spiritual condition of many Christians in America, our faith is an inch deep and a mile wide. What that means is that many of our churches are plagued with such a spiritual shallowness that we have become weak and powerless and ineffective. I got to thinking recently, and I got to thinking about just along this line, and that is, we're letting other things take too much of our time. Of too much doing this and that. And I'm not against you going out and having a meal, you're going out and seeing a movie, you're going out and do some shopping, this, that, or the other. I'm not opposed to that. I'm not against it. But I think we have a spiritual shallowness. It's become weak and powerless and ineffective. I wonder sometimes, I think, what if I had lived back at that time? And what I went to one of their services? And it's nothing like this. And it won't be for many, many years. But we would be going with one another, singing, hear the preacher preach to us, preach to them, have the communion. And it was a way that we got people together. Many people who profess to be Christians these days have stopped growing. They are still spiritual infants. Why is that? What are we doing? This is why Paul prays that you and I might be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. We would happen in this church if that prayer was realized in the lives of each other and every one of us. We need to trust the Lord. We need to wait upon Him and do His what He would have us do. Brethren, number two is, Paul prays that we might be rooted in God's love. I want you to notice in this part of the prayer, Paul is not praying that the Ephesians know how much they love Christ, but rather he is praying that they may know how much Christ loves them. Do you need to know that? Do you ever get up in the morning and before your feet hit the ground, I know that Jesus loves me? And throughout the days, every once in a while, when you stop, what are you doing? I'm talking to the Lord. I need Him. I don't know if we do that or not. The love of Christ is to be the soil in which our lives are rooted and grounded. Remember, Paul was a man whose past was riddled with sins and failures. But when he grasped that Christ loved him with an undying love, despite his past, it totally set him free. Brethren, we've got a lot of paper here with letters. I mean, more work. But I don't think the time is going to need to be quieted. Maybe I can go home and finish those and teach them to Joyce. And then you can call Joyce and she'll teach you. Well, I've preached 60 years now. And I don't know. I love it. And if I get my wife just a little bit easier on me, we can do a lot of good things. But I love her. Love her with all my heart. And we have a good time sitting at home, just the two of us. I don't know that there's probably not anybody that's served, maybe. But anyway, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, we'd like to sit down and talk to you. We've got two elders. We've got members, people. The story ones of us. If you have fallen by the wayside as a child of God, you know, I was talking to a person today about that. And that's a big decision. Big work. But if you're here and you haven't obeyed the gospel or you've fallen by the wayside, we're going to be led in this prayer, and we want to invite you to come and be with us as we sing.